the research sort of came from this point of anger that I had when I became aware of all of this beautiful literature that was out there that was being written when I was growing up. And like you said, I am a child of Appalachia. I grew up in Eastern Kentucky and West Virginia and Tennessee. And when I became aware of it, it just, you know, there was so much that was relevant that could have been impactful in so many lives, and we missed it. And I didn't want that to happen again. And I don't have an answer as to why it wasn't really being promoted.
When most people think of Southern literature, they probably jump to Southern Gothic, a very well-known genre associated with the South. It's defined, of course, by its characters, its plot lines and thematic elements, things like that. So what features would you say define Appalachian literature? What is the common thread that runs through some of these books?
Well, it's interesting you brought that up, because one of the threads that runs through the exhibit, we intended for it to showcase that it is very broad. And we wanted to make sure that all of the different voices were heard and people could see that. I think when people think of Appalachia specifically, they think of mountains and poverty and uneducated and, you know, all these terms that are not necessarily positive. So when I found all of this work, you know, there were so many different elements associated with the literature coming out of it for children that I wanted to make sure that all of these voices were heard. There's not just ethnic diversity, there's socioeconomic diversity, there's different mountain voices even. If you compare what was written currently to what was being written in the 1960s, all of that is different. But I think one element is the strength of the people that live there, their connection to the land. There is adversity as well, but I think that element runs through any type of literature, to be honest. Part of what we wanted to showcase was that it was so diverse.
Talk to me about the roots of Appalachian literature. Where did it come from? What are some of the early examples that define this genre?
Well, it was interesting. When I started doing my research back in 06, 08, when I did my thesis, so much of it comes from oral tradition or research done on a level that was not necessarily literature. For instance, James Mooney, he was an ethnographer, and he did a lot of work with Native American tribes, especially the Cherokee. So he recorded all of this great oral tradition in the Cherokee land and all of the different tribes. And from that came all of these oral traditions that were then later handed down and later reprinted by different authors. So some of it comes from that. Some of it comes from storytelling, just oral traditions from family to family that were written down. One example that we highlight in the exhibit is the Foxfire series that was originally started, I think, in the 1960s. I think it's the date, late 60s. But it started in northern Georgia, where the children actually went out and children of this specific school went out and talked to people in the community and recorded not just stories, but also how they lived. And so I felt like that was an important example of, you know, recording the ways of life within this community and the greater community as a whole. So it comes from all these different points of view. And another element people don't think of is that so many different types of immigrants came to Appalachia. I mean, we had Italian immigrants, Slovakian immigrants, you know, Irish, of course, Scots-Irish. So a lot of those stories originated not here, but from the original lands that these folks came from.
Is it more likely today that teachers in public schools throughout Tennessee, throughout Appalachia, are more likely to assign these books by Appalachian authors than it was when you were growing up?
I think so. And in large part, that is probably due to the fact that now every school is mandated to have a librarian on site and a library. When I was growing up, I don't think that was the case. I think one or two of the schools I was in did, but funding was always an issue. So it depended on the school, and bookmobiles were still pretty relevant when I was growing up. But now, yes, every school is mandated to have a librarian who's a professional in the field, who can look for and find literature that reflects the lives of the kids in the community. And that wasn't always the case.
What is your hope for the Appalachian Voices program through the library, through the East Tennessee History Center, for the people who go to see the exhibit or read the books that are on this list? What is your hope for this? What do you hope they get out of it?
Well, it's twofold, I think. One, I wanted to expose people to this that might not know it's there. You know, I don't want anyone to go through what I went through. I want it to be prevalent. I want people to know about it. I want them to read it if they're interested. And you know, granted, not everything's going to be interesting to everyone that comes through. But I hope there's some connection on some level to the people that get to see the exhibit. You know, another part that I hope takes place, and funnily enough, when we were putting it together, you know, we were all in the academic mode and we were trying to make sure all the content was there and certain things weren't left out. And not long before we open, one of the collaborators said, "What do we have that's interactive for the children that are coming through?" And we're like, you know, we didn't even think about that. So she went back through, and every panel that we had, she put an interactive piece for all of the younger children that came through. And the first day I was there at the exhibit, one of the first groups that came through was a family, and the mom looked at me and said, "My kids loved this." And that's all that matters to me. I mean, you know, that they love it, they get something out of it, and hopefully they'll go home and make a connection to some of these books.
For the listener out there who does not have much or even any exposure to the books on this list or the authors on this list, where should they start? If you had to recommend the one book that would be the gateway to Appalachian literature, kid, adult, doesn't matter, what would that book be?
Well, there was really a renaissance in the early 1980s, and one of the authors that led that is an author named Cynthia Ryland, and she now writes a lot of stuff that isn't Appalachia specific, but she grew up in West Virginia as well. And two of her books, I think, are very prominent in the field. One is called When I Was Young in the Mountains, and one is called Missing May. Both are award winners. And I think both sort of really highlight that Renaissance movement that came through in the 80s when we were writing again and being proud of who we were and where we were from. And so I think she's one to definitely check out.
Jamie Osborne is the branch manager of the Halls Branch Library, part of the Knox County Public Library System, also the co-curator of Reading Appalachia. It's a reading program through the Knox County Public Library System and the East Tennessee History Center. The exhibit closes on September 14th. Jamie Osborne, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.